down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota. And the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Just like a percolator, her perfume was made right on the grill. Why, they could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when their ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why, they put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice. The planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a crawler. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Wow, how else would I start this show? Oh, welcome in, everyone. And I didn't have time to talk to you before the show, Karen, but welcome in. We got Joe on the line here, too. I'm going to bring him up. I know Joe was running to get a cup of coffee. So welcome in, everyone. Good to have you folks joining us today on a special show, at least for me. But welcome in. I hope you have your coffee and your chocolate, and you're raring to go.
Well, hello. Yeah, of course I do. I have my water, chocolate, coffee, you know, the essentials to do the show. So, yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm just thinking maybe my next trip will be to Brazil, since that sounds like quite the place to find some goodies.
I've said many times on air that if I go missing and you don't hear from me, Brazil and Colombia, those are the first. Well, Colombia used to be Colombia until I heard Frank Sinatra singing about the wonders of the coffee in Brazil. So I'm going to have to go there first. I have to go to Brazil first on the way to Colombia. So check Brazil first, and that's where I'll be. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Sure has been a fun. Go ahead, Joe.
Well,
sorry, brother.
I'll be just checking. I'll be catching up with my shipping container down somewhere in Costa Rica. But, yeah, sounds like a good trip. We all need one.
Yeah, exactly. So, here we are. And the world is still with us. And the Lord is still good.
Amen.
Amen.
Like I was talking to Joe earlier, and for you folks, this is presumably the last show here on the Truth Radio Network. I'm walking away from doing this after almost 6 years, confident, content that we've all done a really great job of what we set out to do. Karen and Joe, you two are the last of all of the great hosts we've had here. And I think we've all done a great job of helping people form a relationship with the Lord if they didn't already have one, or to strengthen their relationship with the Lord. We've informed people. We've inspired people. We've led people to the Lord. I've gotten the emails and the messages. And I think, you know, that was our mission all along, was to do that. And I've always said that this was going to be on the Lord's timetable, that this was going to run for as long as the Lord had ordained. And to be honest, I believe it's gone on, you know, about a year longer than what I expected. But it's always been the Lord's timing. And I've been praying about this all year, since the first of the year, since before that, because I was wondering what to do, you know, before the turn of the new year. And I was like, oh, well, maybe if we just hang out for 6 years, you know, to make the 6 year mark, and we're almost there. About a month away would be full 6 years. But man, that really doesn't matter, because like I said, I'm content. I believe we've all done a great job in accomplishing what we've set out to do. So I want to thank the both of you, first of all, for, you know, hanging on and sticking with the network and doing the shows with me the last couple of years. It's really been great. So thanks to both of you. You're both family to me. You know, I love you guys. And hopefully we can do some shows in the future, just not in the foreseeable future, I guess, because I'm content. I'm kind of filled with joy. It's like a, you know, like mission accomplished kind of feeling. But I'll stop on a cup of coffee or a sip of coffee.
Well, I truly appreciate the soapbox that you've, you know, let me have access to. And, well, when we started this, my goal was, you know, if I can help, you know, one family or one person, then hey, then my time is well spent. And just the feedback that I received in other blog talk chat rooms and stuff, I think we did our job. And I'm pretty satisfied, and we'll just take it from there and deal with everything in God's timeline. It's not ours, and He's the one that lets us know what to do. So I'm content with where we are. Wish I could have listened to a couple more shows that you guys did, but, other than that, hey, the archives are there, and,
right.
And that's a valuable resource that, you know, people should take advantage of. That was my other question. Will the archives still be intact?
Yes.
So that people can, okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, everything we've done. Everything that's still there that hasn't been removed or asked to be taken down or edited or whatever as the case may be, everything's going to be there. 1,250 some odd episodes. So, there's that. So, anyway, Army Girl, how are you this week? And the last show that I did was with you, I believe. Or no, me and Joe probably did one after that. But anyway.
I'm doing well. Thank you. I am blessed and highly favored, as I am every day that I get up. And, I just want to thank you, Jay, for a minute. I just want to take that opportunity to thank you for providing the network for us and being a good servant of the Lord when you heard and obeyed him to open the network to begin with from the very get-go. And gave us an opportunity. I think you are also in that list of great hosts on this network. We've enjoyed your shows tremendously, and we know that your heart has always been to serve the Lord and to proclaim the gospel and stay true to that. And we all did know that there was going to come a time where, you know, there's a season for everything, the Bible says. And when we first started out, it was a different type of environment that we had in the world. It's quickly changed even since we began 6 years ago. A lot of people's eyes have been opened to understanding what is going on in the world, and also that there's an answer to all of our problems, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone. And
Amen.
His word, you know, gives us the direction, the compass that we need to navigate through this sometimes, you know, hard to understand world and events that happen in our life. And we find comfort, we find assurance, we find salvation, we find eternal life, we find love that's everlasting, we find protection, we find peace that passes understanding. We find so much in our Lord Jesus Christ. And our hearts have been to share the love of Christ with as many as would hear His voice, and as well as exposing the darkness. Because the Bible says for us not to have any thing to do with darkness, but to expose it. And so we were trying to balance showing some of the evil deeds, and that the Bible means what it says in these end days. And even if we're not close to when Christ returns, we know we're all appointed once to die. And we all know that we're eternal beings right now. And it depends on what we do on this side of our death that determines our eternity. So we just wanted to encourage people to know that there is a God. He is a living God. There is salvation and eternal life through Christ Jesus and what He did on the cross. And there's hope, there's encouragement, and there's actually, like you said, joy and contentment in the midst of all of these things that we can find. And through Him, we have strength and we have this hope. So with that said, you know, we come to a point that we're kind of being, I don't want to say redundant, but the world is the world, and God's kingdom is God's kingdom, and that's going to be until the end of time, until each time Christ comes. And so while it is a bleak-looking world at times, there's a lot of good things in the world, in our realms that we live in, our local areas. We see a lot of good people and good things going on. So, yeah, I feel content in that, you know, we've got a lot of archives there of different subjects that we've tried to tackle, where we love people, but we like God says, to love what He loves and to hate what He hates. And we love people. We love the fact that God loves the world and that God wants you and all of us, and that we're all being called to Him for salvation and eternal life. And also that, I lost my train of thought. Imagine that, live radio.
Welcome to the club. I wish that I had an assistant to where I could just go through all of the shows and just clip out the part where I lost my train of thought. And what I've actually said, oh, I've lost my train of thought on air, just like you. I bet you it would be 30 minutes long. And that's no joke. That is no joke. That is the joy of live radio.
Well, it keeps you humble, right, guys? I mean,
amen.
We've all experienced it. And it's hard when you're not in the same room as well, I think, to conduct a radio show when you can't see the cues and the, you know, I see people doing radio shows together and they're in the same room, and I think, wow, that would be really a treat.
That would
be
so easy.
Oh, yeah. And have a producer and an editor and, you know, all of that that presents shows. And that's another thing, don't you guys think, that has changed is radio and internet radio compared to when we started. It was kind of in its budding stages a little bit, and it's exploded with podcasts and internet radio. YouTube is a big, huge deal now. People are live streaming their radios.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Karen, because that another factor in playing into the decision to kind of give it a break here for a while was that the there's an oversaturation of, I mean, we're not going to be doing shows here, but what we did, I mean, you can hear sermons and other places. A lot of radio shows do live sermons, which I think is great. I've been trying to catch some of those on the weekends. But there's an oversaturation. I believe there's a point where there can be too much, where you kind of get drowned out, where there are too many fish in the pond, I guess you can say, that type of thing. So, I'm glad you brought that up, Karen, because there really is. And it's gone, unfortunately, a lot of it has gone more towards entertainment than information and, of shows that we do with a more Christian theme.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be more of a focus on entertaining instead of inspiring and informing, and that's kind of that kind of goes hand in hand with the live shows on YouTube and whatnot. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'm watching the underwear hunter's retarded son out here mowing the dirt.
Oh boy, I don't know if Army Girl knows about the underwear hunter.
I think Army Girl remembers the underwear hunter that used to shoot at my dog.
Yes.
He's got a half-tarred son that is now lives in his house, and the dude's out mowing the dirt. I mean, there's grass there, but he's got the lawnmower cranked down so far it fills the leaf bag up. That thing must weigh 80 pounds. He's dragging it across the yard to dump it in a wheelbarrow. Nothing but dust flying here, folks. Okay, I got to sit down. I can't watch that anymore.
So, Joe, right before the show, Joe went on a cat rescuing mission.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had a few minutes. Jay and I had chatted, and I said, "Oh, cool. I'll run around the block and go get the mail." I walk out to my truck, and I look up in the tree that's next to the garage, and one of the kittens from last year is up in this tree, 20 feet off the ground. And I look at it, and I walk over in front of it, and it's not looking like it's going to be hanging there in 15 or an hour and a half. So I got up there and got her out of the tree. And, she kindly left a couple holes in my chest. wasn't fast enough moving her away from me while she was trying to grab something solid. But, we got her to the ground safely. And now she's looking through the screen door, those feed me eyes, I think that's kind of, that's one of the ways that I judge our society and how it is today is by the way we treat our young and our old. And I don't just mean the humans. I mean, all life is precious, and, I'm not saying, go worship your cows or your cats or your dogs or anything like that. But I'm saying, hey, I get immense pleasure out of watching the kitties play in my front yard. And to me, you know, that's, you know, my little touch base with reality is, you know, watching life around me.
Yeah, you know, that's a topic that's come up many times throughout the years on all of our shows is animals, you know, our pets, our little fur friends, you know. They've always, and I don't have any pets, but I absolutely love dogs and cats, animals, pets, and whatnot. But we always seem to bring the pets and the animals in it because I think, and, you know, you two being pet owners, you'll agree, excuse me, I think pets are one of those little joys that, you know, God gives us those little special relationships that we have with our pets are like no other relationship we have other than with fellow humans.
Well, I get along sometimes better with my pets than I do with some other humans, but I think that's partly their choice and partly mine. But I'm prejudiced. I prefer the ones that don't talk back to me. I've always had pets, and I'm a person that believes that a pet's an extension of your personality, and is going to either pick up either the good traits or the bad traits or whichever you instill upon it. Same way with children. I mean, the two wolf scenarios, you know, the one that, you know, wins is the one you feed the most kind of thing. But, pets make make us human. And I'm not saying that people that don't own pets aren't. They just could be a little more. I consider all my pets gifts from God. And, makes me feel like
I was thinking of Romans 1:20, where it says that, you know, as you're talking about these little animals and we look at them and we look at the birds, we look at the insects, we look at all of the intricacies of life and how, what a beautiful design everything is. And Romans 1:20 tells us that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and how that's seen is being, it's understood by the things that are made, whether it's the stars, the universe, the nature around us. There's a purpose in that. We're not to worship the creation, which a lot of people in the pagan cultures have done, and worshiping, you know, getting into that, but we're to worship the creator of all things, and that those invisible things of him are seen. The love that we have from our animals is unconditional, as an example. And the fact that they depend on us, like we depend on God to be taken care of. And, you know, he tells us in his word that he even cares about the sparrows, and how much more does he care about us? You know, he loves his creation. And unfortunately, his creation, along with mankind, fell with sin entering into it, which he will restore someday. Praise God for that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we look around us, and we can see God in many, many things. And it's really hard for me for someone to deny a creator in all the intricacies and things that we have and see around us. And I think it's an indication, you know, I don't know that people can truly love without having a new heart, because God said that he'll give us a new heart and place a new spirit within us when we're born again.
Amen.
And
new wine and bottles.
Amen. And so now we're now adopted into God's family as his children, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, and all heaven our spiritual blessings have been given to us through Christ. So we come out of darkness of this world into his marvelous light, and what a beautiful place to be in for all eternity with Christ Jesus. And No, I just love that God has created the animals. You know, he gave Adam dominion over the animals to name them and take care of them, and to have dominion over the animals. But God is not an abusive God. He wants us to take care of our pets and animals and to treat them with kindness and love. And they're not obviously on the same level that we are, but they sure bring a lot of enjoyment. And that's, they're really a gift that God has given us, animal lovers. And you can tell a lot about a person about, you know, what they do for some an animal that can do really nothing back.
Right.
How do I want to say it?
People that stand up for animals or fight for animals that can't defend for themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, you're a voice for them and you take care of them. My neighbor next door feeds stray kitties. Or of course, the dog on the other side comes and sneaks the cat food quite often. And then our dog watches this whole thing and, you know, barks at the dog to go back home. It's just really, it's gotten to be quite talk about entertainment, Joseph. This is like free entertainment watching all this. But it's really kind of her to, throughout the winter and through the summer, to feed, not only that, she feeds the birds just tremendously, the squirrels, everything. I mean, she's got the whole thing out there. Of course, it's brought a skunk in. that's interesting. But
make sure the new dog, you don't go near the skunk.
Yes, like our former dog, Eddie, you know, he loves cats, and he thought there was a black and white cat in the yard one time, and found out the hard way that no, that was indeed not a cat, and he got sprayed right in the face. Remember that, Jay? I don't even remember if we were on the air or not. But
we talked about it.
I remember.
Poor Eddie.
We still miss Eddie a lot, but we've got Gus now, and Gus is just Gus. We call him Gus Baggy Pants. because when he sits, all of his wrinkles, he's a Shar Pei, and all of his wrinkles puddle right in front of his tail, so he looks like his baggy pants. So it's really fun. But it brings us so much joy. There's a lot of work, but there's so much reward. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, God takes care of us, and he knows the number of hairs on our head. I mean, he's even more loving than we could ever be.
Excuse my ignorance, but I know in the Bible it says that we are to preach the word to all God's creations. So, I'm not saying that, you know, they totally understand it, but I know that my voice relaxes the dogs when I'm around, or when, you know, when they hear it. And I sit here and I read Psalms and stuff to them aloud.
Aww.
And they'll just sit there and you know, relax, and you know, it's enjoyable and it's comforting for me. And I'm an observer. I got guard kitties outside and one kitty inside that runs the place. and then the kids, and you know, between them, you know, it's a pretty busy madhouse here, but you know, we're all getting along. And I mean, it's neat. I got cats in the front, and I got birds in the back, and the dogs travel back and forth, you know, like a happy medium.
That's great. You know, we through the years, we've talked about just about everything here on the network, Joe and Karen. Is there anything that you guys can think of that we didn't touch on over the years? I mean, because I'm drawing a blank.
Well, I think everything from mug shots to you know, crazy stuff that, you know, people do to, you know, just outrageous acts of faith. You know, I think we've covered a lot of material, and I really don't think that there's any topic that we've avoided. I know we haven't avoided anything.
No.
You know, full spectrum. We're equal opportunity offenders here.
Yeah. I think one of the things that comes to my mind is, and I want to put this, what did I do with the chat room? Did I get out of it? I'm going to post this in the chat room. There it is. Is the elderly. A lot of times the elderly kind of gets looked over, and this article I just posted from Science, The Science of Us, is about researchers putting on a suit so that, like they did this with a 23-year-old, and put a suit on to simulate what it would be like to be elderly. And I think in our youth culture that we have, and, you know, the younger the better, going right down to sexualizing our young kids, which we've talked about, you know, before, and just the focus on youth and the fountain of youth and the disposable attitude, you know, in this culture of the elderly who are wise and experienced, and we should revere them. A lot of times they get put in homes, they get put, you know, put away. They, you know, we've even seen stories along the way here the last few years about dying with dignity, and that includes the elderly. And then what is our health care burden? Because as the baby boomers are getting older, it's really putting a large burden, so to speak, if you don't really call it that, but it is a societal problem and an economic problem. And it's one that we don't talk about very much. And this article brings up the fact that, you know, who wants to think you might be a burden on your friends or family? Who wants to think you might lose your job? There's 100 unfortunate reasons why this isn't a big topic of conversation. And we don't want to talk about unpleasant things until something happens that puts it in the public space,
right,
where we have to confront it. So this company, and actually what this is an insurance company. There's a little bit of reason for this. They put this machine on to blur the eyes. With technology the way it is, they can make it how you would feel with losing muscle mass, your eyesight, your ear abilities to hear. They can tweak this stuff with the machine and give you, like, glaucoma. What would it be like to look through eyes glaucoma? What would it be look like with cataracts? And so they can tweak this thing, and they're trying to study it to see, you know, some effects of aging. And it says, like, in 2008, the federal government spent an average of $26,000 $355 on each person 65 or older, which equals about $1.2 trillion, which is quadrupled in the last 50 years and
still,
will continue to climb.
Still a drop in the bucket compared to what is spent on defense. See, let's
exactly.
not let the numbers
oh,
get
yeah.
twisted. You know, we hear about the food stamp people and the welfare people and the disability people and the Social Security people. That is about 1% of the total budget for our government.
Absolutely.
Defense spending is about 57% of the total budget. So for them to even, you know, it's a lie that keeps on getting perpetuated that, you know, we've got to cut the aid to the folks who need it the most because it's blowing holes in the budget and it's causing a deficit and this and that. when in actuality, it's really kind of nothing compared to the expenditures on other things. You know, it's just ridiculous because we need to make sure that the neediest among us are taken care of. You know, there shouldn't be any worries when you pay into a system. There shouldn't be any worries that you're not going to be able to get at least what you paid into it over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, and that system here is failing in this country, as it has in other nations. And without getting too political here, I don't have a horse in the race, a donkey in the show. I don't have any particular political candidates running. But the tone and the direction of the country leads me to believe that a Democrat will be the next president. That's the way the nation seems to be going over the last 10, 12 years, the way the world has gone more towards socialism. I think Hillary, for some reason, if Hillary drops out of the race, it's a free ride for Bernie or Joe Biden if he decides to run. I do believe that the country is heading in that direction, and it's the will of the people, I believe.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, we've said that we don't believe there'll ever be another Republican.
Right.
The way things are going, because there's a lot of indoctrination that's happened. A lot of there's a really good YouTube video on cultural Marxism and changing a society's view from, you know, we were a constitutional republic to a more socialist, redistributing the wealth, fundamentally changing this country into something that was not originally from our founders. And like you said, it's a global system. It's going on. The Pope is pretty much pushing it. Everybody, the UN is pushing it big time. Everybody wants no borders. Everybody just be one global humanity, which just happens to be part of prophecy in the Bible. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy how that works out, huh? Oh, boy. Crazy how that works out. Oh.
Yeah, and I'm putting another video. This is kind of interesting, you know, even though speaking of technology, there are exoskeletons that they're working with to put on human beings, not necessarily implanted in the person, but wearing these suits to help them increase their strength, their muscle strength. So I think as we keep going a little further into technology progressing, we're going to find more and more that people are beginning to utilize machines and robots and things and integrate that into, humanity, as well as I just find it interesting, this ethical questioning going on with changing the DNA, changing the genes. And
right.
It all sounds really like a good idea, quote, but we have to wonder down the road if this is a good thing to do or not. We've pondered this on the shows before. But regardless, we're heading that way.
You see, you don't realize that it's the new democratic socialism. It's not like the old Soviet Union socialism. It's the new democratic socialism. Hello, people. It's the same darn thing.
Sure it is.
And, you know,
ultimately communism.
It's putting a new package on an old story and selling it as a newfound.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, achievement, you know. And this societal experiment has failed so many times. And we all know that and have seen what has happened, you know. The upper echelon socialists, push their, we all got to redistribute the wealth so everybody has the equal hand in the thing. But, you know what, for some reason, those strange people at the top just keep getting more and more, while the people at the bottom get less and less and less. And we call it genocide today, people. Hello?
Yeah.
very closely associated to socialism, period. Just look at how well gun confiscation worked, mm-hmm. Patriot Act is basically a copy of the Enabling Act that Hitler presented to the Reichstag, their parliament, in 1932. Mm-hmm. But that's the dumbed down school system that the mm-hmm. people were operating under today, where they don't even know their history.
Right.
And it frustrates me because I use the saying, you can lead Hoss to water, but you can't make him think.
Good one.
That's
well,
great.
They don't want thinkers. They want workers in a collective
right.
society. They don't want innovation. They don't want competition. They don't want true capitalism. Really, is a good thing. Obviously, the corporations have misused it tremendously, and have wormed their way into our government to get special interests in these activists and people that have. Obviously, there's been misuse of this. But we were just talking about this the other day, that, within each little community, America was built on innovation. America was built on little communities that sustain themselves, businesses, mom-and-pop businesses, that you had the grocery store, and you had the hardware store, and the pharmacy, and these things sustain themselves, and within that money, all stayed in that area, and the schools were pretty much regulated by a local group of people who, wanted what the administrators in their schools, and it was a very hands-on kind of community. And now, with the government coming in, big government, worming its way more and more into the state and into, offering money to the states, and we have this man. I'm glad you brought this up, Joseph. John Dewey is somebody, if people want to research him, was he took psychology classes. He was born in 1859, so this was back a ways. Again, people don't understand their history, unfortunately, but anyway, he was one of the innovators who started a laboratory experiment. And actually got in, they all realized, Hitler was another one, who realized that the youth had to be indoctrinated in order to have this mindset of dumbing them down so they didn't think for themselves, they couldn't critically think, they couldn't pull back and question anything authorities were saying, and not to be self-sufficient, but to rely on the nanny government state. Well, this goes way back to reforms in our education system. And, anybody that looks at statistics will see that we are way down there on the educational ladder compared to the world as far as our, all testing and stuff in education. And it is by design. This was an experiment. It was funded by Rockefeller, I believe, which many things have been, whether it's the Kinsey Institute, whether it was the women's movement back when, the radical women's movement, I should say. A lot of things had to change in this country in order to get us from a republic and a democracy, which is basically, or not a democracy, but a constitutional republic where individuals worked hard. The work ethic is going out the door. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Getting something for nothing. And then you have Bernie coming on saying, yeah, we'll just give away all this free stuff, yay. It's quite interesting to watch our society changing over, don't you guys think?
Right, yeah.
And once a couple more older generations are gone, the younger ones are going to embrace this big time. I mean, look at them now. They're going crazy over Bernie.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
It's the instant gratification society. It's the the dumbing down of this of the school populace. But Carnegie and Rockefeller, they didn't want an educated public. They wanted drones just smart enough to show up to work on time and to not complain about how much they were the company store was stealing from them. And that's what we have today. And that's what happens when you remove God from the school, from the community, and I saw a statistic the other day that says that worldwide abortions are at over 1.5 billion.
And that's a topic that's come up numerous times on not only our show, Karen, but when you and Unituber did your show, that was a topic. Whew, man. Because there's always, and even up to this latest Planned Parenthood scandal that we covered, that's always a topic that is a thorn in the sides of many Christians.
Oh, yeah. I got my baby feet back in 1973. I can remember marching with my mom and some of her friends carrying my youngest little brother at the time. And after that, I at that point in time, I knew that, you know, that abortion was murder. And, you know, later on, you know, got all the particulars about it. It still offends me. And I kind of hate using this quote, but what offends me about abortionists is that their parents didn't believe in it.
Yeah. There's a lot of folks who feel that way, Joe. There are a lot of folks who feel that way.
I mean, but that goes back to the morals that you put onto your children. And,
right. And that's been part of the destruction of our society and our culture and our way of life, the single-parent household, or not even the single-parent household. I don't want to blame just single-parent households. The households where the mother and father were both at home, but they have to work so hard, so many hours, in order to keep up their standard of living, that they don't have time to properly parent their children, you know. And I believe that's by design as well, you know, to where you get the children more reliant on the state than on their parents. That's why you see parental rights being taken away and certain things that, you know, the way I've seen it the last few 10 years, 15 years or so, any way for the state to step in with child protective services or any way like that to get the children in the system, and that includes juvenile detention and jail and probation and things like that, any way to get a child in the system, they're looking to do that, in my opinion.
Well, you got to keep the prison slave population up to par. I mean, you can't let the crony business organizations that are working with the court systems today and these private detention facilities that are making money hand over fist over these prisoners' slave labor. I mean, we complain about, you know, the slave labor going on in South America and in Taiwan and in China. Hey, it's happening here in America, and what is it? 1 in 10 Americans is jailed for a non-violent criminal offense. And if that doesn't tell you something, people, I mean, America has the largest prison population of the world.
It's big money. It's a big industry.
Yeah.
Right.
They have to keep that thing going.
That and the war machine.
Okay, so folks, we're we're down to the last 9 minutes of what's going to be probably our last show here for a long time. So I wanted to take a few minutes here. There's no possible way that I could thank everyone. Possible way, but there are a few people I'll single out here in just a minute. First of all, I want to thank the Lord, first and foremost, for enabling me and us to do this for almost 6 years. It's been a great journey. After that, I want to thank all of our listeners, because without the listeners, we wouldn't have. Third, I want to thank all the guests on all of the various shows that we've had, too numerous to name. We've had some great ones and some not so great ones, but it's always been a great experience and very informative. And all of our hosts, the former hosts, single out Larry, Knucklebones, who did a show here for a while. We had lost him last year. May rest in peace. But all of the other hosts, like I said, way too many to name. But I do want to single out Unituber, Army Girl, you Karen, Joseph, and Dr. LB, even though he wasn't a host. You folks had as much to do with keeping this going for 6 years as anything else. Because when I needed inspiration or guidance or someone to talk to about things that were going on, you folks were always there. And Doc has always been a sound voice of logic and reason. I've always appreciated that. So out of all the hosts that have been here for the last 6 years, I want to single you folks out and thank you for all that you've done. It's been a great trip. And like I said, I don't feel bad about, possibly, most likely, this being our last show here on the network, because I believe that we've done a great job. We've accomplished our mission. So I wanted to get that out there. And, you know what? There's a few other people that I do want to single out. Rusty, constant contributor to our shows. He's always calling in. Off-Grid, our brother Off-Grid. He's done more for us than I'll mention. He's been a great supporter of ours. So I did want to single out those few folks. Especially the list, without the listeners, this wouldn't have gone past, a few shows back in, 2010. So, thanks to all you folks. God bless you.
Yeah. Ladies first. On you, AG.
Well, even our trolls, I want to thank them because, we had a live chat room, and it gave us the opportunity to conduct ourselves in a Christ-like manner. And a lot of times we were attacked, we were mocked, ridiculed. There was things going on in the chat room behind the scenes that we were conducting as well as when we're on the show live. And it gave us an opportunity to ask ourselves, how would we respond in a Christ-like manner to people who are in opposition or who are against the Bible and against Christ, et cetera. Gave us an opportunity to live out those principles of, understanding and like Jay, you always said, I'm not going to kick anybody out as long as they're respectful. And, we welcome people that had different viewpoints. We also had quite a few kind of what we would consider non-traditional doctrines that came in that were quite a challenge. And so even then, we had an opportunity that if someone came into the chat room, I think a lot of people were deliberately rattling our chain to see how we would respond to them. you know, so they could accuse us of not, you know, being that way. And I feel like a lot of times, especially you, Jay, you were always kind of a guide for that, because sometimes we would want to slip into our flesh and really, you know, take offense or get into an argument. And I learned early on the hard way of getting involved in chat rooms where you argue and,
right.
you know, let your pride and your flesh get into the whole thing. And we learned some discipline here, and we learned some, you know, understanding for people that, you know, even though we spoke the truth, we wanted to speak the truth in love. We wanted to expose darkness, but we also wanted everybody to know that, you know, we stand on the word of God. We stand on what God says, and we're non-wavering on that. We've settled that issue. But we also know that we have to extend love and understanding and graciousness to people who are in opposition, and sometimes be firm with those that really take it over the line. But that's one thing about having a live chat room. Many times we would be interrupted and dealing with that in the middle of trying to conduct a live show. But, you know, we've found so many good friends and people we consider family, all
right.
who have come into the chat room. And we all met in chat rooms, and God brought us all together through that. So through the medium of BTR, we were able to, you know, have some really good relationships outside of just online. And the ones that we can't meet in person, we're confident that we'll see on the other side. You know, someday we'll be able to look back and laugh and carry on for all of eternity as brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, about these things. And so the relationships have been a blessing along
Amen.
The way, along with this that we've had.
Amen. Amen. Segue to Joe's soapbox. Thank you, Jay, for the long-running opportunity to try to wake up people. Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. People, check your email. Dive into the best-selling prepper book of all times, Holy Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. You got to know what you're doing. You know, hey, that's why they give you instructions. Jay, really want to thank you for, you know, giving me this opportunity. And when I started this, my goal was, you know, if we can help just one family, you know, get prepared. And I think we've done that.
Yeah.
I think that we've repeated ourselves multiple times, multiple shows. And this is a good thing, because this is growing. This is moving forward. Because, you know, those that have ears will hear, and those that don't, you know, let them continue to follow that blind guy into the ditch.
right.
But, you know, we've done what we can. And, well, the way I've put it before is, we can't beat them yet. So, you know, God gave you free will, so it's your choice whether you want to find him or not, whether you want, you know, you want paradise for eternity. And that's all up to you. Check your email. Get down and pray, people. Get some private time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, Karen, for your friendship, and Doc as well. You guys are really neat, and would have been nice to make it up to your wedding, but I had so much stuff on my plate that time. But you guys have been a blessing to me. Jay, you as well. And I really appreciate the soapbox, and one person you didn't mention was Jomer, and we miss him badly, and we hope the best for him. Whichever part of the country or whichever country he's enjoying the view of his coffee fields in.
But there's a lot of folks that I didn't mention, Joe, because I didn't want to forget someone. You know, it was just too many people. But yeah, Jomer especially. He's the one that actually was your first co-host on a prepping show. He's the one that helped you get your feet wet, and then I kind of picked up the pieces. You know, but hey, it's been great, folks. Thanks throughout the years for listening to our shows. You never know what the store for us. With that in mind,
a F-bomb here or there, but we make it through.
With that in mind, okay, if in the future airways won't be so bad, this will be a radio network. Love you.